Hello everyone, we are continuing through Micah, and today look at Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned, there is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig that my soul desires. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil, to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of your watchmen, of your punishment, has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. All right, so Micah 7, it's the last chapter of Micah. And one thing that we find here that's kind of unique about this chapter in comparison to the rest of the book is that here, most of this chapter, it seems like Micah is the one speaking, and it's not God speaking through Micah. Like, so what we're hearing here, to be clear, is that we're hearing Micah's like reactions and his emotions about the situation that he is in, whereas most of Micah is just, you know, God telling him what to say, and he's like writing it down and speaking it to God's people. So in this passage, Micah's thoughts, his reactions, his emotions are very clear, and we see that in the very first, you know, few words of this chapter. And he says, woe is me. That's how this begins. Micah is expressing how difficult and how hard, how saddening, like, this situation is for him, the situation in Israel at this time. And in verse 1 here, he says things like, you know, like, I've become as when summer fruit has been gathered, grapes have been gleaned, there's no cluster to eat, there's no figs that my soul desires. What he's saying here is that it's like he's looking for food after everything has been harvested. It's like he's going somewhere and like hoping to see fruit or food, and there's nothing left. And he's not here. This is metaphorical, of course. He's not talking about like filling his stomach. He's not seeing instead the fruit of righteousness. He's looking around at God's people, at his own people, and he's seeing that no one is following God. There's no fruit of righteousness. And that's why verse 2 starts with him saying, the godly have perished from the earth. There's like no one around. And what his point here is that he's like looking around and he doesn't see people following God or living righteously or, you know, living justly. And he explains that in the following verses, that people lie in wait for blood, hunt each other with a net. They're looking to take advantage of like one another, right? They're doing evil very well is what he says. And he starts talking about how there's these like a prince and the judge ask for a bribe. What he's saying is there's people in power, they're looking for bribes, they're looking for their own benefit, their leadership is corrupt. And then you go down to verse 6 and he talks about family strife, contempt, conflict, hate within families. And remember, this is a collectivist society and culture. Like, family was like meant almost like everything for them. And so that's how bad it was for them. And when we look around at the world today, and you could read these passages and it feels like nothing has changed. We look around and we see people taking advantage of one another. We see corrupt leadership, people in power looking out for themselves. And family strife, that's like there's broken family relationships everywhere. You know, just divorce rates and like just families broken in so many different ways. That is all around us. And when I read this passage, it reminds me how Paul in Romans 3, he quotes a psalm saying, like, no one is righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. It's, again, Romans 3, Paul quoting the psalms in Romans 3. And that's kind of where we're at. That's where Micah's at. We look around, we see unrighteousness and strife and injustice everywhere. And it can feel kind of hopeless. But this is where it's important, and what it's really great to read this chapter or this passage, because in verse 7, Micah says, in spite of all that I'm seeing, in spite of all this strife and conflict and corruption and sin, everything, He says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He's taking a stand here, and he's saying, things look bad. Things are terrible. But as for me, like where I am right now, I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to put my hope. I'll wait on God, put my hope in him, and know that he can bring salvation, that he will hear me, that God will bring salvation and justice to this world. And similarly, in Romans 3, right, after Paul says those words, later on in Romans 3:23, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's like a memory verse that I learned a long time ago, right? It's like, oh, that, because you're reminded of how like everyone has sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and you bring it into Micah, all of us are like taking advantage of one another, or corruption and like evil, and our family relationships are messed up. That's where Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But in verse 24, it says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is hope for salvation because of Jesus. And when we ourselves, we look around at the world around us, it may seem like at times there's no one righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks God. People, there's corrupt leadership. People are hurting one another. Families are broken. It feels like there's not much hope. But as for us, we can look to the Lord because he has given us a gift through his son, Jesus. We can wait upon the salvation of God. We can wait on God's justice and mercy working in us, through us, around us. We live in some really difficult times right now. The world around us is just very chaotic, and it's really sad. And I think it's right for us to feel sad, to lament, like Micah is lamenting in this passage. But on the other side of that lament, as we're in that lament, we understand that we can wait upon the Lord. Right? That it's hard to wait, but in that wait is there's a longing, there's a hope, there's a knowledge, there's a knowing that God is going to do something. God will hear us. God will redeem us and restore this world. He's going to do something. So as we pray, as we close out this devotional, let's pray that we will wait upon God in the midst of everything, that we will trust that God is in control and that there is a great thing that he wants to do. Well, let's pray. Our Lord, we look around us and we see corruption, we see evil, we see brokenness. And in the midst of that, God, we wait upon you. We ask for your presence and your power and your salvation to come. We know that you hear us, and we know that you are going to do a great work in our world. Bring your restoration, God. Come, Jesus, come. And may we wait and long for your return. And in the meantime, may we be people who bring salvation and justice, who live for your kingdom and share the good news of you, Jesus, to this world. Bless us, God. Help us to wait in hope, knowing that you know the fullness of your coming is coming soon. Bless us, God. In your name we pray. Amen.